storm. Anything unlike God, 100% Godlike, no matter how minuscule the slippage is from that 100% perfect standard, then it is a storm. It is a form of discord. We are sensing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that it is making a suggestion. Suggestion is being defined here as anything that is non-factual. Non-factual is intended to indicate anything that is a deviation in any form, in any degree whatsoever, that is a deviation from absolute 100% perfection. One of the most advanced students of Christian Science is Frederick L. Rawson, and he states that we must keep our consciousness filled with the qualities of perfect man in perfect heaven, governed by perfect God. So any deviation from that is opening our door to a thought of a storm, a discord, something unlike God. In the Christian Science hymnal, number 148, the hymn reads as follows: in heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Verse 2, wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh. His sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Verse 3, which is the final verse, green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path in life is free. My Father has my treasure, and he will walk with me. That hymn, 148, sums it up in such a beautiful way. Where this treatment is posted, there will be a link to the hymn performed by a wonderful singing group, the New Song. Following is a quotation from King David, Psalms 107. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 4, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. And also from Isaiah chapter 25. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well defined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Luke chapter 8, there's this account of Jesus with his disciples. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. On page 67, in Science and Health, which is in the chapter on marriage, Mary Baker Eddy writes this paragraph entitled, Weathering the Storm. When the ocean is stirred by a storm, then the clouds lower, the wind shrieks through the tightened shrouds, and the waves lift themselves into mountains. We ask the helmsman, Do you know your course? Can you steer safely amid the storm? He answers bravely, but even the dauntless seaman is not sure of his safety. Nautical science is not equal to the science of mind. Yet, acting up to his highest understanding, firm at the post of duty, the mariner works on and awaits the issue. Thus should we deport ourselves on the seething ocean of sorrow. Hoping and working, one should stick to the wreck until an irresistible propulsion precipitates his doom or sunshine gladdens the troubled sea. In an article on the topic of vision, Mary Baker Eddy states, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" Jesus was excellent at doing this, for he would look upon an individual that was deemed to be sinful, sick, dying, or dead, and he would translate what was visible as a suggestion to the real man. Mary Baker Eddy refers to this when she says that Jesus saw the true man where others were seeing a sinning mortal man. Our experience is what our thoughts are. We project our thoughts, and it becomes our experience. Others benefit or are harmed by the thoughts we project. Jesus was always projecting thoughts of spirit, perfection, love, fulfillment, wholeness, completeness. Mary Baker Eddy states that we should be constantly looking at the model that we want to achieve in our experience. So, of course, we want to cultivate perfection. So we want to look, in other words, visualize perfection. We want to fill our thought with thoughts of the qualities of God, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. As just a brief summary, some of the highlights of mind are creativeness, which then enables activity in a productive manner, which results in accomplishment, which therefore becomes power. Power being a measurement of accomplishment. Mind is omniscient, and omniscience includes qualities such as intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And since God is the one and only, that means the only and all intelligence and wisdom and knowing is from God. God includes his manifestation, so God's qualities include the manifestation of those qualities being established in all existence, because God is omnipresent. The quality of spirit refers to substance. It is the only substance because God is spirit, and again, God is all there is. And that includes God's manifestation. Spirit represents pureness, which of course means flawless. Therefore, it is transparent because there is nothing to block, nothing to prevent seeing all in a spiritual way. Because it is transparent and pure, it therefore reflection. Reflecting the qualities of God. In contemplating storm as a topic, one must consider what Mary Baker Eddy stated when she responded to a letter from a church that informed her that things were going really well at the church and they were proud of the progress. Mary Baker Eddy's response to them was that that was unfavorable information. That if things are going really well, that means that they're not really challenging the belief that there's life, truth, and intelligence in matter, or mortal mind, or electricity, or animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever. If one is working out one's salvation, or a group such as a church, or the universal belief that needs to be worked out of universal salvation. So if one is really doing that, then the waters are not calm. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that we must stir up our own thought, which enables the sediments that are in the bottom of the stream to become muddy waters so that it can be filtered. If we're passive and just accept everything, that is not reflecting the creative ability which creates the action, which creates the opportunity for accomplishment, which is then measured and termed power. It short-circuits that entire process. Or rather, it ignores the opportunity. And this does not refer to stirring up the thoughts of others or stirring up an event or a relationship, but only stirring up our own thoughts so that we do the proper task of filtering out the chaff so that we're only dealing with the wheat. The Word, the true qualities of God. In Science and Health, Chapter 2, the title is Atonement and Eucharist. And John Morgan explains that atonement means atoning ourselves, becoming at one with the Christ consciousness, which was the consciousness that Jesus was the great exemplar for all mankind to observe and learn from. So that is what he explains the atonement means. And Eucharist, he explains as meaning the price that must be paid for the atonement with the Christ consciousness. And that price is exactly what we've been discussing, and that is giving up the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Mary Baker Eddy states that human thinking objects to this to the hilt. So there's a fight wherein we must be perseverant, constantly striving for the purity that is the definition of substance, spirit, pureness. So we must be constantly analyzing our own thought to make sure that there are no particles of materialism that is erroneously influencing. And of course, if it's anything to do with matter or mortal mind, it only has one thing to do, and that is erroneous influence. Suggestion. As Mr. Winslow says, we must not pick up the phone and let the suggestion of mortal mind enter our thought. Mary Baker Eddy prevented a phone from being installed in her home, and they had telephones that had been discovered, because she thought of it as an avenue where someone could try to influence whomever answered the phone. She didn't want that avenue to be open. When one thinks about a storm, one might classify it in one of two different ways. One, of course, is the normal way that people think about it, which is that it is something exterior to their own consciousness, and that it is something that is expected to cause damage, injury, even death of humans. Certainly destruction of property. In fact, the black hats, that being a general term for the belief that there are ones devoted to causing trouble, promoting evil in some manner, a favorite trick of the black hats is to create chaos so that people become weak and are willing to grasp onto anything that they think is going to relieve them from their stress. And that's when the suggestion comes, oh, follow me, I will help you. And of course, that is mortal mind speaking. We must be firm, as suggested by Mr. Rossin, where he recommends starting out your treatment by saying, there is no, and we could say no destructive storm. There is no destructive storm. Man is the image and likeness of God in heaven, perfect heaven, governed by perfect God, where everything is in balance and everything is spiritual, because the only substance is spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, perfect heaven means that only spirit reigns, only spirit exists. Also, the statement has been made that God does not give man more than he is capable of doing. In other words, there is no task that we could be confronted with that is greater than the ability that God gives us to solve that problem. And of course, the only reason we have a problem is that we are still working out our own salvation. Jesus faced problems his entire experience on planet Earth. And even after his resurrection, he had a probationary period for another level of transition. And when it all boiled down, it appears that John was the only one that was loyal to him. And that is why Jesus appeared to John on the island of Patmos and dictated the book of Revelation. I viewed a movie wherein one of the quotations was to use the storm, a storm, as fuel for oneself to forge ahead like an eagle. When it's facing a storm, it rises up, tilts its wings upward to let the storm increase the elevation for the eagle above the storm. Everyone has probably heard the quotation about when things get tough, the tough get going. Mary Baker Eddy states in that chapter just referred to, Chapter 2, Atonement and Eucharist, on page 37, under the title Complete Emulation, referring to emulating the works of Christ Jesus, she says, "May the Christians of today take up the more practical import of that career," referring to Jesus. "It is possible, yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man, and woman to follow in some degree the example of the Master by the demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. Christians claim to be his followers, but do they follow him in the way that he commanded? Hear these imperative commands. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And heal the sick. And of course, the sick is a broad term to include everything. One that is sick means one that is in discord. That discord could be anything. It could be sin, it could be death. Of course, disease. Any discord whatsoever. Anything that is unlike the pureness and perfection of God. In thinking about the word storm, one needs to either analyze, expose, and eradicate from thought the belief that there can be anything that is unlike God that is real. Or on the other hand, if things seem to be very quiet and smooth, one needs to dig and see, are there roots of anything in my thought that are lying dormant and have not been cleaned out, where they might be like the seeds of a plant that are under the earth that one cannot see what's going on, but they're still there and sooner or later will germinate into something that will be a problem. So one must constantly search one's own thought to make sure that it is full of only godlike thoughts, so that the consciousness is clean, which enables us to be much more effective in forging forward. Jesus says that thinking something is evil. In other words, thinking something unlike God is evil. And he says it's tantamount to doing it. That gives us a lot of opportunity, even though we may not have done any evil act. Although I presume if that's the case, we'd be walking on water. But our duty is to make sure that we're not thinking, even unconsciously, about anything that is unlike the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So let the storm roar without us believing that it is real, and create a storm in consciousness if there are any thoughts that are unlike God, and cleanse them with the truth. Amen.